that it's always best for me to follow through and reach out. But this week, I didn't follow through. And this week, I felt like I was too busy doing the Lord's work to do the Lord's work. This week, I told the Lord that I don't have time. I didn't really say it directly to God. Instead, I took more of a passive-aggressive approach, and I just kind of avoided the topic with God. I tried not to think about it because I didn't have time. I didn't think I had time to add one more thing. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it was a person that God brought to your mind. Maybe it was an action that God wanted you to take. Maybe it was an invitation to spend some time just focusing on the Lord. Maybe it was a nudge to share with someone what God was doing in your life. Maybe it was a stirring about some announcement in the church bulletin. Maybe it was a call to serve one of your neighbors. Maybe it was a prompting to put your faith in Jesus. Whatever it was. Have you ever had God put something on your heart? At least you thought it was from God. It felt like it was from God, but you avoided it because you didn't feel like you had time, or you didn't feel like you had space in your life, or you didn't feel like you had bandwidth or margin. That's what I did this week. We're in the midst of a sermon series that we're calling Rest. And rest seems to be a thing that very few people are experiencing these days in our world. Yet Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 that He came to give us rest. He came to give us rest for our souls. And He said that we can have that rest when we surrender to Him. But you see, when I do what I did this week, when I don't follow through on His lead because I don't think I have time, because I'm already too busy, I reveal something about my heart. I reveal something about my faith. And unless I deal with that revelation, I will never understand what it means to experience truly the rest that God has for me in my everyday life, even while I'm on the go. And that's why today's text, today's scripture text, where the disciples struggle in a very similar way, is so important. In fact, when I laid out this whole sermon series, I kind of marked this day as what I thought was one of the most important messages in this whole series. But it will only be important today if the Holy Spirit gives me the right words and opens up all of our ears to really hear what the Scripture says. So would you join me in prayer? Let's ask God to help us do that. God, thank You so much for Your Word today. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy that You have in my life, that Your grace is sufficient for me. Thank You for the work that You've done in me in this passage this week. I pray now that You would do, that You would multiply that. That God, You would have Your way. For people here that feel really close to You, that You would help them to hear what You have to say. For people here that feel really distant from You, God, that You would open up their hearts to hear what You might speak to them today in love and grace and truth. Not that we would just know more interesting things or know some more stuff, but God, that we would experience Your redeeming transformation for Your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, Amen. Our passage is in Mark chapter 6. And if you don't have your own Bible, I encourage you to grab a pew Bible. Mark chapter 6. Somebody tell me what page it's on in the pew Bible. 1562. 1562 in your pew Bible. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Hear now God's awesome and holy word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He, Jesus, said to them, "Come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so His disciples came to Him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But He answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I encourage you to keep that open. I know this is a story that a lot of you have heard before, but I think it's really important today to understand its context. You see, earlier in the same chapter, Jesus had sent out the disciples, which is kind of a scary thought when we know kind of the story of the disciples. But verses 12 and 13 talk about what they did. Verse 12 and 13 says they went out and preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So by this time in Mark chapter 6, the disciples are on the go. They were invested in the ministry of Jesus enough that they could go out together in pairs and kind of take the message that Jesus had been proclaiming. And they went out and they were practicing the ministry as if they weren't going to have Jesus much longer, or something they didn't quite understand yet. And certainly it wasn't easy. Mark kind of gives us the highlight reel, but we can know for sure that there were places that they went that they were not welcome. That there were places that there were places and things that they did that did not go well. And so by the time they get back, we can understand that they were probably exalted. And then the Gospel of Mark inserts this horrible story that he says that it kind of occurred while they were out and about. It's the story of John the Baptist's execution. John the Baptist was the one who baptized Jesus. He was the one giving the same message down closer to Jerusalem about the kingdom of God, the same message that the disciples had just been going out and sharing, and now he was executed. So in verse 30, when it says the disciples came back and reported to Jesus all they had done, yes, they were probably excited about what had been happening, but I can imagine that they were also tired. And I can imagine that they were grieved and worried about John the Baptist's death, maybe even scared. You know, if that happened to John the Baptist, what's going to happen to us? But there was no rest for the weary in that moment. Verse 31 says, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. But Jesus isn't unaware. Jesus is a leader who pays attention to his people. Into the midst of all that activity, Jesus says to them these amazing words. He says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And I love that. I love that because it reminds me that Jesus cares about their rest. Jesus isn't just using these guys to advance his objectives without considering their own lives. He's not dehumanizing them as laborers without worth. They're not just the pawns on his chessboard. Jesus cares for them. And that means he cares about their rest. And he also cares about their relationship with him. Did you see that? I just highlighted this in my Bible. He says, come with me. He doesn't just send them off to a retreat without him. Jesus wants them to be with him, and he wants to be with them. He wants them to rest together. Jesus cares about the well-being of his disciples. He cares about their rest. He cares about their spiritual health, their relational health. And so he says, come on, guys, let's go. Let's get away to a quiet place where we can rest together. And so the guys jump in the boat and they take off to the other side of the lake. And I can only hope that it was a nice, long, quiet boat ride, not like the one we read about last week when there was a storm on the lake. And I just can only hope that it took a nice long time and it was quiet, because according to the scripture, when the people on the shoreline recognized that Jesus and the disciples were in their boat and they were going to the other side, the people started running along the shore around the edge of the lake and kind of tracking the boat and going and going and going and probably gathering more and more people from the villages that they passed. That's Jesus. He's going over there. Let's go. And so that by the time the boat gets to the other side of the lake, the scripture says that a crowd was there. All that to say, that retreat interrupted. That rest, that quiet place, just them and Jesus, no more. Huge crowd waiting for them on the shore. What would you have done in that moment? Would you just have put the sail back up and kind of turned the boat around and just, bye-bye? Or maybe you would have been like I used to be on Halloween before the Lord changed my heart for my neighbors. And just pretend, you know, that nobody's home. Just kind of get into the boat and slide down. Hold real still. Until just hoping that the people would leave. That's what I might have done. But that's not what Jesus did. Look at verse 34. It says that when Jesus landed and saw that large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. And once again in the scripture, like we see all throughout the Gospels, we see something powerful about Jesus and about who he was. Even though he was hoping for a quiet retreat with the team, even though he was grieved by the death of his cousin, we know that he was grieved by that. When he saw the crowd, when he saw all those people, he was moved. He had compassion. He felt something deep within him. His heart was not hard. Even if he was tired, he saw them not only physically, but he saw them spiritually as well, like that they were like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, that they were bound to perish, that they were destined to failure. Jesus had compassion on them, just like he has compassion on us. And the more, church, we come to accept the reality that Jesus has compassion on us, the more we are compelled to have compassion on the crowds around us, on the people around us. But it doesn't seem like the disciples were operating on the same set of assumptions or on the same page or in the same mental and emotional space. Because after Jesus had been teaching, when it was starting to grow dark, and the disciples came to Jesus and they told him that it was time to send the crowds away. You know, this was one of those moments in the Gospels when the disciples decided that Jesus needed their input. And you have to remember that they hadn't eaten, that the evening totally did not turn out as they expected it was going to be. But still, their input to Jesus revealed something about their hearts that is really, really important for us to catch today. Because I think it's often true of our hearts, at least mine. Their input revealed that they didn't really believe that Jesus cared about their well-being. They didn't really believe that Jesus cared even about the well-being of the people in the crowd. And see, I think that same is true of me. When I don't follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in my life because I think I'm too busy or I don't have time or I'm too tired, it reveals that I don't really believe that Jesus cares about me. It reveals that I don't really trust Jesus with my time or with my schedule. It reveals that what I really believe is that I have to protect myself from the things that Jesus wants me to do. Because if I don't protect myself, and if I just follow the Lord's leading, He will burn me out. He will use me up without any regard for my needs or my family's needs. And if that's what I believe, then it's no wonder why I would avoid listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If that's what I believe, it's no wonder why I would resist the call of God on my life. If that's what I believe, it's no wonder why I would want Jesus to just send the people away so that they can take care of themselves and we can take care of ourselves. But the reality is that when I believe that, I'm forgetting who Jesus is. I'm forgetting what Jesus reveals about the heart of God. Jesus came to show us who God is and how to live His way. I'm forgetting that God is for me. I'm forgetting that God loves me, not just what I can do for Him, not just what I can produce for Him, but God loves me. I'm forgetting that God cares for me. I'm forgetting that I can truly trust God with my whole life. Beloved, we spend a lot of time talking about finding balance in our lives. But balance is not the way to truly experience the rest that Jesus has to offer. As believers in Jesus, we don't need to guard our calendars. We need to surrender our calendars to Jesus. We need to trust that He will give us our daily bread, that He will give us the rest that we need, that He will take care of us, that there's nothing better than living every moment by moment by moment in obedience to God. That's the kind of faith that Jesus had in the Father. Jesus had perfect belief in the Father. He knew that there was nothing better than surrendering His every day, His every schedule into the hands of the Heavenly Father. And that's why in John chapter 4, when Jesus was hungry, when He was ministering with the woman at the well, the disciples went off to get some food. They came back. They saw Him there. The disciples were worried about Jesus' need for food. And so they kind of said, "Hey, you got to eat something." And He was able to tell His disciples something. You remember what He said? John chapter 4, verse 34. He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." You see, when we don't follow the Lord's prompting because we don't think we have time, we demonstrate our unbelief. That's what the disciples showed that day, by saying, "Jesus, it's time to send these guys away." But the good news is that Jesus had compassion on the disciples, just like He had compassion on the crowd and just like He has compassion on us. And so Jesus took the opportunity to help the disciples learn an incredibly important lesson, one that I think is so important for our church to learn as well, to learn how to experience the rest of God even while you're on the go. To find rest even while you're giving what you have away. So Jesus said to them, "Well, you give them something to eat." "What? Are you kidding? Do you see all these people? Do you know how much money it would take to buy food for all of them? Is that how you want us to spend our money, Jesus?" You know, I sensed from those words that they were starting to get a little hangry, you know, kind of hungry and angry combined, hangry. And I love Jesus' response. "No, I'm not asking you to subcontract this thing. I'm asking you to give what you have. So how much food do you have?" Jesus knows they don't have enough. I mean, and the disciples know they don't have enough. Five loaves of bread and then, whoa, two fish. Woo! That would only take care of like a tiny fraction, maybe not even just the disciples and the people that were traveling with them. But Jesus asked them to give what they have and trust Him with the results. Jesus knows that they're tired. Jesus knows that they're hungry. He still cares about both of those things. And yet in the midst of that care, He still asks them to give what they have, trusting that Jesus will take care of them while He uses them. It's the only way that they can experience rest on the go. And so the disciples give Jesus the bread and the fish. And they watched Jesus lifted up before God the Father and give thanks to God. How ludicrous, in front of so many thousands of people. And then Jesus gave it back to them, and they began to take it out and share it amongst the crowd. And I can only imagine what was going on in their minds as they fed that first group, and then the next, and then the next, and the next, and the next. It was an incredible work of God in that moment to multiply the food. And eventually I wonder what they were thinking as they themselves, hungry, tired, sat down themselves with Jesus, and ate till they were full. Because see, not only was the crowd fed, verse 42 says something incredibly important. It says they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and they all were satisfied. Do you know what that means? That means not only did all the men and the women and the children that were there eat, but that meant the disciples ate as well. And they didn't just eat like a little tiny leftover crumb or a few bites to hold them over. No, when it says that they ate and were satisfied, it means that they ate all that they wanted until they were full, until they were satisfied. Have you ever had a... Well, I know we've had meals like that. They got all that they needed. They were filled up. That's what the word means. Church, Jesus cares about the needs of His disciples. He cares about their physical needs. He cares about their spiritual needs. He never treats them like they are just His pawns or His tools. He never dehumanizes them. When we trust that, when we believe that, it frees us up to follow the lead of Jesus in our lives. It frees us up to surrender our schedules and our lives to Him and our calendars and our everyday actions to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus. And it's the only way that we can truly experience rest on the go. Simply follow the Lord's lead and He will satisfy our hunger. He will give us that soul rest that all of us so deeply desire. And that's why it's so important for us today to learn how to in our lives, to learn how to discern God's call. Please do not hear me say something I'm not saying. Please do not hear me say that you should never take a break, or that you should sign up for everything at church, or that you need to do more if you want God to really love you, or that you should always be working. That is not what I'm saying. I just know that sometimes we say no to God because we're afraid that He, or the work that He asks us to do, is going to burn us out. Beloved, Jesus does not burn people out. We do. We're the ones who are prone to take on a Savior complex, thinking that we're the only ones who can make a difference. We're the ones who dehumanize the people around us to advance our kingdoms and to meet our needs. If you're just hearing me say more, then you're not hearing me correctly. I'm just saying that the reason we are being held back is because we don't really believe that Jesus truly cares for us. That He truly cares for our physical needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs. But the reality is, church, that He does care. He cares so much that Jesus gave His life on the cross. That He took on the curses of our sinfulness and our rebellion. That He paid the price for our actions against God. Also, that we could know what it's like to live like He did, to live in perfect relationship with the Father, experiencing true rest while He gave His life away. So my question is, will you trust Him today? Will you trust Him with your calendar? Will you trust Him with your schedule? Will you give what He asks you to give? Will you do what He asks you to do? Not just trying to see where you can fit Him into your everyday life, but just saying, God, here is my everyday life. That's the way we find rest. But to do that, it takes faith. And so I encourage you to pray this week. Whenever you feel hesitant to live in obedience to Him, whenever you feel like you're kind of stepping out of that sense that God is calling you into, whatever it is that He's calling you toward, whenever you sense that hesitancy to do what He asks you to do, I invite you to simply pray that God would help you to believe that there's nothing better than surrendering your life to follow Jesus. Nothing better. than surrendering your life to follow Jesus. Because as we surrender our life, that's how we find rest. That kind of prayer, God, help me with my unbelief. That's a prayer that Jesus loves to answer. So may that be true in us today. Let's pray. Father, I just say, please forgive me for my unbelief. Please forgive me for the way that I'm not willing to totally surrender because I'm not quite sure that you're going to take care of me or that you're going to make it work out or whatever. I don't really trust you with my time. I'm sorry for that, Lord. And I imagine that there's more of us here that are like that. And if not, well, then it's just been a great sermon from you today. But God, would you come and speak to our hearts today? Lord, I believe that you are prompting people right now by your Spirit, prompting people to step out in faith, prompting people toward deeper faith, prompting people to follow your lead. Help us to believe that as we do that, that you will uphold us with your right hand. Help us to believe that you are actually the Lord of time, that you are sovereign and good and in control. And in the same way that the disciples eventually were ate and were satisfied, that we also can be satisfied as we surrender to you and do what you ask us to do. So thank you for your awesome and amazing grace for us that is sufficient for every single one of us. Help us to respond as you would lead us. Deepen our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Is that you would see Jesus for who he really is. That he cares for you. That he loves you. That he cares about your physical needs, your emotional needs, your spiritual needs. And that when we, the more we believe that in him, the more we believe about who he really is, that he is trustworthy, that the more freed up we are to surrender to him. And it's in that surrender that we find rest. Even while he calls us to give ourselves away, that's how we find rest for our souls. So may that be true of you this week. The prayer team is here. They would love to pray with anything that you have to pray about. Anything you want to give God praise for or just ask God's help with, they're going to be up here, and I just encourage you to come forward and seek them out. Membership class at 3 o'clock. Next week, Reformation Sunday, when we kind of celebrate our heritage, you can wear that tartan or plaid to celebrate. It's going to be a great time next week. May the Lord help us this week to believe in who he is, so that we can walk as he calls us to walk in rest. Receive this blessing from him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. Go in peace.